You're listening to Ketchikan Church of the Nazarene.
Today is Easter.
Amen.
Yeah, well, we can be a little more excited about that. Today is Easter. Yeah, because today is the day that we say, in human history, everything changed. Everything fundamentally changed about the way we understand love and life and relationship with God. Because everything was broken and falling apart, and then today, everything is mended. Everything is fixed. Jesus fulfilled his promise that he made in the garden years and years and thousands of years ago when he said, I know Adam and Eve, I know you sinned, but one day I will fix this. And that's today. Today is the day that he fixed the problem of sin and separation for all people, for all time. And it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter what you've said or not said. God loves you. And if you hear nothing else this morning, if the message were to end right now, you need to know that God loves you exactly where you are, exactly in life as you are. God loves you. And he wants to bring you into a future that is so much better than you could have ever hoped for or dreamed for or desired for yourself. So if that's the end of the message, great. But it's not, okay? So we're going to actually read some scriptures this morning. Our Easter series is called Greater Love. Now, on Good Friday, which was last Friday, is the day that we recognize Christ died for our sins on the cross. And we read the scripture verse, greater love has no man than this, than he who would lay his life down for someone else. And we recognize that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. Jesus laid his life down willingly for us on the cross in our place for our sins, and he willingly died. And that's devastating, that someone had to die so that I didn't take my own punishment, that I did something so egregious in the eyes of God that someone had to die to make it right. But Jesus rose, and that's why we're here this morning. And so if you guys want to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 10. And if you want to follow along on the screen, you can. It's John chapter 10 on the screen as well. And that's just, yeah, it's amazing how that works.
Amen.
And so you can stick your fingers in your Bible and you can listen. I'm going to be reading from the Message version today. But if you have NIV or ESV or New King James or, you know, all the whatevers, feel free to follow along and see the difference in the words and the translations and allow it to speak to your heart this morning. Lord, as we read your word, as we hear your word to us this morning, may we be encouraged that we have a God who is so good and so loving and so big and so powerful that not even death can overcome him. We are thankful for Jesus this morning. Speak to us now as we listen to your word, and we pray this in the name of our risen Savior Jesus. John chapter 10, verses 9 through 18, read this way. And again, this is an atypical resurrection passage. We're not at the end of the Gospels today. We're in the middle of one of the Gospels. So hold on. Jesus says, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and freely go out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. But I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and he runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money, and the sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself and sacrifice myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. And I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice, and then it will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay my life down. And so I am also free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down, and I also have the right to take it up again. I received this authority personally from the Father. This is the word of the Lord for you this morning on Easter. I love this passage because it speaks of the resurrection before it actually happens. Jesus is telling his disciples, before it ever happens, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you as plainly as I humanly can, Jesus says. There is one way to the Father, and that's through me. I'm the gatekeeper. All the sheep must pass through me. But when you pass through me, you gain entrance to a pasture that is so far beyond what you could ever imagine for your life. Not only that, but I will never leave you, never forsake you. I will lay my life down for you. I will protect you from the wolves that ravage you. Not only will I lay my life down, but I will take it back up. He's the only person who has ever claimed that and been able to do it. This is why he is the way, the truth, and the life. Four things that I want us to understand this morning. God knows you. Okay? God knows you. In this passage, it tells us that he is the good shepherd and he knows his sheep, right? This means that he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you're thinking right now, okay? He knows what you did yesterday. He knows what you're going to do 10 years from now. He knows your greatest joys and your deepest struggles. He knows you. He is not just acquainted with you. He's not just a passing friend. He knows you better than you know you. And you know you pretty darn well, right? But he knows you better. Scripture tells us that he formed us. Our everything. While we were still being formed in the womb, he was knitting us together for his glory. That we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and every single one of us are unique and different, which speaks to the glory of God to create so many people over the course of human history. And even moving forward into human history, we have no idea how long human history will exist. No two people are the same, not even identical twins. They are different. Now, we might have a hard time telling identical twins apart. They sometimes sound the same, sometimes they'll dress the same. Sometimes they'll swap names and try and trick us, right? But God knows they are distinctly different. God knows you. He knows you so deeply. And he says, my sheep, I know them. Any sheep he can walk up to and say, I know who you are. I know your name. I know your heart's desire. I know what you long for. I know what you struggle with. I know you. He can speak right into the depth of your life. And then he can step to the person next door to you and do that for them. God knows you so well. On the heels of that, we have to understand this, that he seeks you. If you are already a Jesus follower, someone who has trusted in Christ, you have entered through the gate, you say, I know, in my knower and my knower, right, that Jesus is Lord of my life. That I have been forgiven of my sins, that he died for me, and that he rose for me, and that I have life eternal, and I know that one day I will be with Jesus in heaven forever, then you know that Jesus knows you. And you need sometimes a reminder that he seeks you. That even when you stray, he comes after you, right? That if there are 99 sheep and one has wandered, he goes after that one. He seeks the stray sheep, to bring them back to the fold, to correct them, to love them, to bind their wounds. Psalm 23 says that God is a good shepherd, and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't fear evil, and his rod and his staff comfort us, right? So when we, as sheep, go astray, he pulls us back in, and he seeks after us, and he loves us. No matter where we've gone, no matter what we've done, he says, I want you back in my flock. I love you, sheep. Come back. That's the Christian perspective. But for those of you this morning who may not have ever trusted Christ, you may have heard about Jesus. Maybe this is your first day ever hearing about Jesus. That's why in this passage, it says this. Let me find it. I have other sheep that are not yet in this fold. We as Christians are already in the fold. But folks who have not yet trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, people who have not yet entered through the one and only gate, which is Jesus Christ, God looks at them, looks at you, and says, I want you to be my sheep too. I want nothing more than for you to come and enter into life, enter into rest, enjoy forgiveness, and benefit of the beauty of everything that I have to offer you. My intention is not only to have a flock of people who love me, but to seek after all of the people who do not yet know who I am. My life's intention is to go and to die on the cross for the sins of the people who do not know who I am, so that one day they might hear how I love them, and one day they might receive the gift of life that I give them. Jesus is seeking you this morning. Whether you are a Christian or whether you are not a Christian, God is actively working to draw you closer to his heart, actively working to usher you into the sheepfold, actively working to bind your wounds and to speak hope into your life. And he might be doing it through the message this morning. And he might have done it through the songs this morning. And he might do it through your crazy aunt who calls you every Thursday at 7 p.m. and says, did you know that Jesus loves you? And you roll your eyes because you're like, really? I don't want to hear this again. But God speaks to you because he is seeking you. He is sending people into your life to tell you how much God loves you. And I'm one of those people this morning. I have the joy to holler a lot, God loves you, and he seeks you, and it doesn't matter where you are. He will go find you, and he will bring you to him and carry you home forever. God promised us that we have a home in heaven with him, and he wouldn't have told us that, scripture says, if he wasn't going to take us there to be with him. And so God knows you, and he seeks you. He wants the sheep in the pen and the sheep that are wandering the hillside to all be one flock, all under one shepherd, one good shepherd, one great shepherd, the best shepherd that ever was. And he did that by dying for you. See, there was this story. It's the story of Scripture, and I like how Jesus puts it in terms of a shepherding story. There was a sheep pen with some sheep. And they had a lot of shepherds that weren't really great. A lot of shepherds that thought you had to do certain things to be safe. They reinforced the walls of the shepherd pens, right? And they put barbed wire up, and they said, only so many people can come in. Broken people stay out. Poor people stay out. People who are different than us stay out. God calls those people wolves. They don't really care about the sheep. They care about looking good. God says, those people will destroy the flock. So I'm going to send a good shepherd who will vanquish the wolves, the people who try and tell you how to be holy by doing. And instead, I will give my life and make you holy as a gift. So Jesus died for you. And when he died, it radiated out across the entire cosmos, vanquishing evil for all time. The things that we struggle with, the sins that we have, the hurts, the hang-ups, all those things that, in our soul, those things destroy the heart of a sheep. And Jesus says, I will die to make those things disappear. Those things don't have to hold you anymore. When Jesus died on the cross, in your place for your sins, he took everything that is bad and unraveling about your life and took the full wrath of God on all of that icky stuff, and he died so that you don't have to. So that all the sheep in his pasture, God promises that one day there will be no more sorrow. Right? Can I get an amen on that? No more death. Can I get an amen on that? Right? No more sadness. Right? No more sickness. right? No more Ketchikan crud, two times a year. No more stubbed toes. No more runny noses. No more people dying of cancer. No more broken relationships. No more any of that kind of stuff. Everything that we have grown so accustomed to in this world, this fallen world, this world that's unraveling, none of that will exist in God's pasture. None of that will exist in God's kingdom because Jesus is the good shepherd who willingly laid his life down to take all of the bad stuff on him for all time for all people. And we, in the most unfair trade of all time, get all of the blessing. And he got all of the curse. For us, for me. He died for us. But he lives for you. This is the Easter message, right? Because if Jesus just stayed dead, well, everybody does that. Lots of people have claimed to be God's messenger. But Jesus is the only one who said, not only have I predetermined this from before history, speaking to Adam and Eve, I will fix this one day. But then he walked the face of the earth, touched people, healed people, loved people, encouraged people, showed them the glimpses of what the kingdom life will be like. And then he said, and I will die, and I will take my life back up from the grave. That's a pretty bold claim for someone to make. I lay my life down, but I will take it up again. And that was unprecedented. The disciples would have been like, blink, blink, what? What? Because at this point, resurrection, not really a thing on the radar of human history. There were some blips, but they were very, very, very few and far between in Scripture. Jesus was saying, not only will I raise from the dead and vanquish sin and evil for all time, but you get to live forever. And you don't have to do anything. You just have to love me. You just have to trust that I'm going to do what I say I will do. You have to just trust that I am who I say I am. And then you flip a couple chapters forward in the Gospel of John. You can do it in any of the Gospels. I've spent time this week reading the ends of all the Gospels. They are very similar, right? Sometimes you read the Gospels and you're like, this story says one thing, but this Gospel doesn't have that story, and this Gospel tells this story a little bit differently. This one had so many people in it, but this one had another different number of people, and you're like, wow, do these people know what they're talking about? But you get to the resurrection story, the important crux of human history, and they are virtually identical. I love it. On the first day of the week, chapter 20, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early and it was still dark and the stone had been taken away. So she ran and went and told the disciples, Simon Peter and another disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have laid him. So they ran towards the tomb, running together. But one disciple outran the other, reached the tomb first, stooped to look in, saw there were cloths, but no people buried. And then Peter came later and followed him, and he went into the tomb. He just walked right in to where death was supposed to be. And he saw where Jesus was supposed to be, and Jesus wasn't there. And the other disciple who had reached the tomb first finally went in and saw the empty tomb and believed, even though they weren't quite sure they understood Scripture that he was supposed to rise from the dead. He still believed. Do you get what is happening here? Even in the resurrection story, the disciples who'd walked with Jesus for 3 years, who'd seen him do miracles, crazy, insane stuff. And then they heard him say, I lay my life down, I will take it back up again. For this reason, the Son of Man must die, right? And then I will build my life back up again. Over and over and over again, Jesus told them that. And they got there and they saw the stone rolled away and they saw the empty tomb and the linens empty, no body. And they believed even though they didn't understand. I think that's encouraging. I don't understand. I believe. I don't know how God raises from the dead. I don't know how it happens, but I know it does. I I believe, though I have not seen. And Scripture tells us, I think it's in maybe Matthew, in the resurrection passages, Thomas, good Thomas, doubting Thomas, saw Jesus face to face after the resurrection, said, I don't know, man. I just don't know. I mean, I see you. This is hard. And Jesus says, okay, work with this. I seek you. I know you. I made you. I know the way I made you is one that questions everything. So why don't you touch the nail holes? See that it's me, Thomas. That's okay. We're close enough. I died for you. I love you. I know you. I seek you. Go ahead and come and get personal with this. And then Thomas believed. But it's okay to question this morning. It's okay to wonder, is it true? Did it happen for me? Is this story real? Because we don't get to walk into the empty tomb this morning, do we? That was years ago. We take on faith that which people have written down for us generations ago. We take on faith what we hear those who claim to believe in Jesus say about their lives. So I'll tell you this. I believe that Jesus is my Lord. I believe that he lived a sinless and perfect life on this earth. I believe that while he walked the face of the earth, he was 100% God and 100% man. And I believe that this 100% God, 100% man loved me enough to go endure something horrible for me. And I believe that he died because of it. And that should have been me. But I also believe that he rose from the dead. And when I chose to believe that Jesus rose from the dead and paid the price for my sins, my life became different. I can't tell you how it works. I can just tell you, he's good. He knows you. He seeks you. He died for you, and he currently lives for you. Scripture says he currently rules and reigns, living to make intercession for you. He is begging God the Father to work in your life so that you may come to know how great God is. The worship team is going to come and lead us. We're going to have communion, distributed elements together, and I'm going to ask that as the ushers distribute the elements, that you would take them and hold them. We'll sing a song, and then we'll pause, and we'll take communion together, giving ourselves the opportunity to confess and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord this morning, for the glory of God the Father and the good of our souls.
You've just heard a message from Ketchikan Church of the Nazarene. To learn more about our church or to support our ministries, you can visit ktnnaz.org.